You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And hey, Simo, the year of 2020 will be remembered for a lot of different things.
2020 vision, the rear vision.
Yes.
Leave it far behind.
Go away, never again.
Yeah.
Yes, it will be remembered for a lot of things. The year 2021, I hope, will be remembered for a lot of things as well. More positive things, maybe even things like this.
Okay.
This is one of the most bizarre headlines, and I kind of had to check the date. I'm like, no, it's not April Fool's. This is actually real.
I'm so excited you've brought this to the table because I saw the headline, but I couldn't find any info.
Mm.
So,
and being excited when someone brings spinach to the table is often something that you're... No, someone brings spinach to the table, you're like, no, I don't want that. Go away.
Yeah. So what have they done?
Scientists have taught spinach leaves to send emails.
It's so good.
I know. It's so... You kind of read that headline and you're like, sorry, what?
Yeah. So how did they... Was it... Did they train them with a whistle or what did they do?
No. So I'll tell you how it works. When it says send emails, it's kind of very much needing another function to send the email.
Because otherwise I was worried that, like, if it's not healthy, you're going to get an email come through to your phone and be like, I'm not as healthy as I look. Please water me.
No, well, again, I read the email and thought that they were like spinach just with laptops going, all right, got to get the emails done. Let's kind of do some typing. But it turns out it's not that.
Right.
What it is that spinach growing in the ground. Now, I'm going to stress this. I wasn't very good at science at school. I'm not very sciencey.
Yeah.
I've got the text here, so okay. We'll go through it.
Oh, yes.
So when the roots of the plants detect nitromutant... No, let me try that again.
Would you like me to read it?
Nutrients in the ground.
Yep.
Carbon nanotubes within the leaves of the plant put out a signal.
Okay.
That leafy signal is then detected by infrared cameras.
Yep.
And then that is what triggers the email to be sent to scientists.
Right, yep.
So when spinach leaves detect a bit of a change in groundwater, they can now alert infrared cameras that will kind of alert scientists.
So they're alerting scientists that they're growing effectively, right? Or at a certain stage of growth.
Yeah. Or just if there was a change to the environment. The technology is said that it could be used to monitor climate change.
Wow.
With kind of spinach obviously growing outside, if something changes, like the weather or the climate, you can kind of alert scientists to say, oh, yeah, by the way, this is happening.
You'll be tuning into the news tomorrow night and you'll be like, and next we have spinach with the weather.
Going to get rid of the weather, man, and it's just the spinach.
So good. I hope that they coded the emails as well. So, like, it opens up as like, I hope this finds you well.
Mm.
Love spinach.
Love your leafy green friend, full of iron.
Love your leafy green friend. That would be worrying because if you're getting emails from other herbs and spices, you'd have to sift through who that email came from.
Imagine like your wife or something like that. It's like, who is this? It's like, no, that's just the spinach.
Yeah.
I was just getting emails from the spinach.
Who's your leafy green friend? What's that about?
I see, man, this research, it was actually published way back in 2016, but for whatever reason, it's only now that it's kind of come to light and people are kind of realizing it. And I got to be honest, when I read the email, when I read the headline, spinach sending email, I thought, oh, gee, I get enough spam emails already. Yeah. I'm on so many mailing... I don't even remember signing up for this mailing list.
Mm.
Now I'm on it. I don't need the spinach. I don't need that sending me emails. I've already got 99 unread emails that I should get back to.
It blows me away in regards to it. It's not obviously telling them anything about how the spinach is feeling or...
Imagine if it does.
It's like, I'm unhealthy, I'm sad. Because you know how like they can listen to music as well.
What
happens if the spinach starts sending through a playlist of what it wants to hear the next day?
Please, no more tones than I. I'm not a fan.
It's like, if we get that one, we'll take that to heart.
But imagine getting an email from spinach going, hi, how are you? I'm good, thanks for asking. Just chilling in the ground.
It's when they
just
start
waiting for the inevitable day that someone comes and picks me and I get eaten.
It's when they start sending emails to each other. That's when...
spinach is rising up.
Yeah.
Or 2020 was COVID. 2022 is going to be the spinach apocalypse.
They get their own social media. Dirt book, I don't know.
No, that's going to be what's happened. They've learned how to do emails. They're going to learn how to do TikTok next.
Spinach space.
They'll just be spinach doing that TikTok dance.
Yeah, and then if they start sending each other financial advice, like, you know, join my spinach, join my spinach stock market.
If they start doing that, that is when we worry.
Simo and Jordan.
Next up, talking delicacies, like where they change from state to state or country to country. Everyone has their own food.
Oh, like food delicacies?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
So, for instance, the one I always find interesting between states in Australia, the difference between, what do you call meat on a stick?
Meat on a stick?
Yeah, meat on a stick. That, you know, it's got like a stick through it and you can barbecue it effectively.
Oh, I think, it does vary from, some just call them skewers. I think kebabs, it's sometimes called that.
Or a shish kebab.
Shish kebab. I've heard shazlik.
Oh, yes, shazlik as well.
Have you heard that one?
Big fan of a shazlik. Yeah, I think that's from where we come from.
Mm. should specify South Australia,
yeah.
Not Mars.
Yeah, that's it. So
where we come from, the planet shazlik.
Where meat is food is only served on sticks.
There is no washing up. But a lot of sticks.
There's no cutlery.
When you're 18, you get your stick. And you eat your food off that for the rest of that is what his life is like on the planet Shazlik.
Oh dear. So that's one example.
Mm-hmm.
Over in the Europe, this story here breaking this morning regarding a sausage roll. Now, pastries. I think pasties, do they have them in all states in Australia? I feel like they're missing pasties in some different places.
Yeah, pasties are a bit of a weird one. It's like they kind of got to some borders and just thought, no.
No.
But yeah, I think I've seen them around the... Not much, admittedly.
I haven't seen a Cornish pasty in years.
Oh, no, yeah. You, no chance. But no, I've seen pasties. Like I say, not many places have them, but I have seen them at a couple of places.
Well, over in Europe, there's a French guy, a French man.
I think over in Europe, there's multiple French people. In France, perhaps.
But he was in England.
Okay.
And he found it odd that over there, everyone was obsessed with these sausage rolls.
Okay,
what's this food, the sausage roll?
Can I just, I thought sausage rolls were just an Aussie thing. Are they in the UK and Europe as well?
They are at a place called Greg's, right? And so...
Actually, that's a shop.
Yeah.
It's not just one bloke called Greg.
And so what
are you doing in my kitchen, French bloke?
And so...
Go away, I'm just trying to win a sausage roll.
He's done a complete review of the sausage roll, which I figure is a very innocent thing to do. We could experience sausage rolls again for the first time.
Wait, who are we talking about? So this French guy has?
Yeah.
Okay. I can see the script on your computer over there. I can't help but notice there are certain words that are blanked out.
Yeah.
Should we read any? Is that for legal reasons? Should we read into why they are? Or?
It's redacted, but you can see how long it is.
It's redacted. How much is? Was this? What do you? I thought this was like a friendly comparison, and all of a sudden he's had to redact stuff.
I'll give you the titles: Greg's Anonymous Review, a Prologue, the Delivery, the Sausage Roll, Interlude, and the Conclusion.
Simo, can I ask?
Yep.
Is the only reason you brought this story to the show right now so you can do your French accent?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. If you ever want to get on the show, just send us something vaguely French.
But of course.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like man walks down the street in France, Simo runs into the meeting. I got something for the show!
So he... I'm not going to go through the whole review. It's like 2 pages long. But I will focus on the conclusion.
Good.
All right. So he's gone to the restaurant / bakery. It's called Greg's. He's not exactly sure what the fuss is about, the sausage roll.
Okay.
And he's decided to end up reviewing why UK and people are so into bakeries in general.
Okay.
Conclusion. Greg's, the bakery, is not about the food. It's not about the restaurant. I don't even think it qualifies as a bakery. But what matters at Greg's is that it's there for you. Life here on Earth is rough. As I'm writing to you, the world has been ravaged by a pandemic for over a year. With no clear end in sight, it has made life so boring, so sad. And it's not like it was that great before either. Every day we wake up, we go on about our absurd existence, stuck on a rock in space. It's filled with upsets, heartbreaks, frustration, disappointments. And one day, out of the blue, it stops. And that's a tad depressing, if you ask me. But the British pastries, they do not lament about that. What they do is get up, they crack a joke about how terrible the weather is. And when they wake up, they go for a sausage roll.
It's very poetic, isn't it? You can really tell, like, accents and music aside, you can really tell that some French guy wrote that. Yeah. If an English person was writing a review of a sausage roll, yeah, it would just be like, good.
And then he finishes it with, and that's what the sausage roll is. He's like a nice neighbor. He sits there quietly, and when you need him, he'll help you fill up after a rough night. He will always be there for you.
It's so poetic, but it's so true.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And hey, Simo, I want to touch on this. It's doing the rounds on social media.
Right.
It is a letter that has been found that was written in 1969.
That's the year of the moon landing.
If you say so.
Yeah, it is.
No, it was written in 1969. It was like a schoolgirl did this at the time, and she predicted the future.
Oh, no. Is she still alive?
Well, it's unclear because this letter was found down the back of a couch, believe it or not,
right,
in a house over in the UK that I assume had been in the same living room for 60-odd years or whatever
that's
it turned out to be.
That's insane.
And, you know, since then, the family, this girl has moved out of the house and moved on. It was predicted she was about 11 at the time of writing this letter, so it should be 60s or so now.
Moved on sounds like a ghost. She moved on. Like,
well, it's unconfirmed whether she's moved on in that way.
Right, okay.
Put it that way. But Simo, so she did predict the future, and I thought, considering, you know, we're quite a bit past 1969 now.
Yes.
We could kind of go through what her predictions were and see how right she was.
All right, cool. Did she get the moon landing in there?
There is no mention of the moon landing. So I don't know whether it happened before the moon landing, like in the months before the moon landing or afterwards. But
it was
anyway,
a year of kind of, you know, anything was possible because man landed on the moon. So they're all like, oh, the future.
Well, maybe that's why, because it's clearly a school assignment because it's been handwritten and it's been given to the teacher and kind of marked. And some words are spelt incorrectly and just kind of crossed out and put the correctly spelt word and, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So it's clearly a school thing. And it was found down the back of the couch. All right, Simo, you ready?
Yes, indeed.
So it is dated that this assignment was done on the 23rd of February, 1969.
Okay.
So I don't know when the moon landing was, but I assume February is quite early in the year. I assume before the moon landing, but I'm not sure. And the letter opens with the line, the year is 1980, so she's predicted things that are going to happen in 1980.
Okay, right. So, yeah, the moon landing happens, like, a couple of months later in July. Okay.
So she's predicted things that are happening in 1980.
Yep.
So she said, in 1969, the telephone is a square box thing with a receiver on top.
Yeah.
So far correct.
Hmm.
But now, in the year 1980, you can see the person you're talking to. It's like a screen where you can see people. It's a bit like television.
Yep.
Well, I mean, admittedly, that didn't happen in 1980.
Yeah.
You know, didn't quite get the date right.
Well, it's one of those things with the future, like art dictates the future. So there's a heap of devices that exist now because of things like Star Trek.
Mm.
So hands-free phone calls, they used to be able to like tap their chest in Star Trek and then they could talk to any part of the ship type thing.
Mm.
But that was filmed way before phones had that ability.
Here's a breakthrough. Phones don't have that ability. Even you can't just tap your chest and no, imagine that you tap your chest. It's like, oh, sorry, mum, sorry, wrong chest part. No, I was meant to hit the other one.
Well, like they had a like a phone orientated device on their shirt. So same as like hands free.
Okay, I gotcha.
Because now you can just be like, ring Siri, ring mum. Please don't.
No, please hang on. Where's my phone?
Yep.
No, we're all good.
We're all good.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that she got that right.
Yeah,
video calls.
Absolutely. That's a big tick.
I mean, the year's slightly off, but, you know, we'll gloss over that.
Into that. Cool.
And then we move on to, she went on talking about banks, saying that banks will still be around as they wouldn't have changed since 1969.
That seems fair.
Yeah, admittedly, I wasn't around in 1969, so I don't know what banks were, but banks are still definitely a thing now.
Yeah.
They still deal with money.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more computers now than they were back then, but more or less the same. So I reckon that's, you know.
That's a bit of a easy, what do they call that? That's a gimme.
That's
isn't it?
She's just hit a six there just without even having to try. But lastly, Simo, and this is where I fear that things kind of go a bit askew.
Okay, yeah.
In the year 1980, my husband will be home from work, but I have no dinner to prepare like we did in 1969. All we will have is a piece of chewing gum to eat. You may think that's not enough to eat, but you're wrong, because this piece of chewing gum is a food. You chew this like gum and you feel the food going down your throat. You can taste it. There is no messy washing up afterwards.
Oh, that's the end game there. No washing.
Now, I think it's safe to say that that hasn't happened.
Mm.
And perhaps safe to say that she just watched the Willy Wonka movie which I don't know, was it made by then, the original one? Maybe.
It doesn't sustain you, that gum, though. It doesn't actually feed you. It's just never ending.
Mm.
So you don't get the benefit of nutrition. She's thinking she doesn't want to eat the vegetables, but okay, wants to get the bang for buck. So
okay, well, mate, it's a bit different to Willy Wonka then, yeah, in that case. But I think safe to say she won't be getting the tick sound effect for that one.
No, which you can have this one.
No! You'd have Steve Carell yelling no at her.
Yep, so, best wishes to her in her 60s.
Yeah, best wishes to her, and hopefully the gum gets created, yeah, so the pain of washing up.
Unfortunately, she's still on Wrigley's Extra, or Juicy Fruit. That was Wrigley's Juicy Fruit.
That's all she eats.
Simo and Jordan.
And for your Wednesday, next up, it's very important how you market a business, how you make sure you get the very best reviews right up the front of anything that you're trying to get in front of people.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's marketing 101, isn't it?
Same thing we do. Like, if you go to our show podcast, you've got, what is it? Great listening. Always enjoy catching up with the boys, that kind of thing. As opposed to, say, the ones that come through that say, these guys are genuine idiots, right? You make sure you put the good stuff up front.
Just for the record, we don't have any bad stuff. We are not genuine idiots. And a nice little plug there for the podcast. Well done.
Thank you. So while we do that and ensure that we only get the glowing reviews, right? Some restaurants out there, obviously, online, and people will jump on board some pretty antagonistic and angry customer reviews.
Oh, I do love bad reviews of places. A lot of them are hilarious.
Right.
But there was one review I saw of like a local cafe, which I go to a bit, which they're kind of like, I think they gave it like a 2-star or a 3-star.
Okay.
And it was like, food was delicious, coffee was good, service was outstanding, but the nearest toilet was 2 kilometres away.
That's their fault.
And it's like, okay, number one, the nearest toilet's just over there. I can see it from the cafe. It's like number two. You know, it's just kind of, what can you do?
Is that the fact? Did you have ones and twos there as, is that on purpose?
What do you mean?
you listed the fact, oh, there's a big issue that the toilet wasn't close enough.
Oh, I see.
And you're like, well, you know, first of all, issue one, issue two, you know.
Is... No, sorry, it was purely, I wasn't making a dirty joke. Sorry, I should have gone issue A and issue B.
Oh, dear, tick those off. All right, now this restaurant is in Queensland. It's a Chinese restaurant.
Okay.
And it has put out a flyer. So you know how if you want to get, like, takeaway, you'll grab a little flyer so you've got the number at home. You stick it up on the fridge.
Like, is it like a menu or something, like takeaway menu or just a flyer?
It's a flyer. It's called Fu Hua Chinese Restaurant, fully licensed, BYO, no charge, open 7 days, et cetera, et cetera.
This isn't sponsored by this Chinese restaurant I should say.
It's in Wanneroo, so it's about, I think it's a 12-hour drive from here.
Well, I mean, if you want the best Chinese food in Australia, so, go to somewhere in Queensland.
So serving traditional Chinese dish. Now, you can see obviously there, Jordan, that there is a heap of positive, glowing reviews.
Yeah, well, so this flyer, I can see it on your screen. So at the top, they've got all the information about the restaurant, the phone number, etc.
Yep.
And then from about a third of the way down onwards.
Yeah.
It's just like a heap of like little, it looks like little quotes.
Yeah, so read, pick one and read it. Go for it.
Well, I mean, I'll pick the easiest one. It just says amazing and then there's 3!
Big serves that full of meat.
But it's like kind of, if you see movie posters or theatre posters and they'll have like little snippets of like reviews and stuff.
Mm.
And it's like, hilarious, 5 stars, the best movie all year. It's like that sort of thing.
Food is nice, thank you. But if you look a little closer, there's something else at play.
Okay.
Okay. So if you give it a bit of a closer read, instead of just taking it for granted that it's all positive, glowing reviews, there's one here. It's the third one down. I ordered fried rice without prawns, but I got a lot of prawns in my rice. I need a refund.
And they put that on the flyer.
It's right there.
They put that in a weird, in like a very cursive, hard-to-read writing, so maybe they were hoping that no one would be able to read it.
Well, why do you put it on there to begin with?
It's obviously to see how this has happened. They just saw lots of prawns and kind of lost in translation, didn't realize that that's what it was.
All right, and the next one that you go a bit further down, it's like, food, 5-star. Service, 5-star. Why I give it out of a 1-star? Just because I can, lol. It's on the flyer.
To be fair, I reckon that's a good review, though. Because like food, five star service, I just gave it one star because I'm a tool.
What about the one right underneath it? Food is bland and tasteless. Will not order here again. It's on.
Yeah, not sure why that one's
on the flyer.
Not sure why that one's on the flyer.
You can finish it off. Can you read that last one? Can you see that last one?
No, I can't read it because the screen's on the other. I can't read it from here.
Waited for over an hour. Where is my food? ?
Look, it's just, you know, they're showing that there's, you know, positives and negatives.
Yeah, exactly. They've returned to a non-biased review system.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're not taking a side. They're going, well, look, the majority of the reviews there are good. But there are some people as bad. And there's one bloke who just gave us one star because he's a tool, even though he liked everything.
Because Chinese restaurants, along with, say, the Chinese government, very, you know, they keep it bipartisan.
We're getting into very dangerous waters.
I didn't say anything.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, I just want to take a quick moment now just to acknowledge the fact that over in America, in North Texas, the cedar waxwing birds are doing their annual migration.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Good on them. Where are they coming from?
Somewhere.
And they're going to Austin, did you say?
No, they're going to North Texas.
North Texas.
So they go to North Texas around this time of year every year.
It's not a place I'd be choosing to go as a bird. A lot of guns in Texas.
I don't know. I haven't been.
Been to the US? There's more guns than there are people.
I mean, that's a good point. I think anywhere you go in the US, there's a lot of guns.
And Texas are pretty pro from memory.
But no, like guns aside, I just wanted to, you know, acknowledge that they are...
The cedar bird. Is cedar... Cedar's a wood, right?
Oh, I don't know. Right. Well, it's a bird, apparently.
Yeah, well, it's a type... It's obviously a bird that might live in that tree.
I don't know.
Cedar wood, yeah.
Simo, surprising as it sounds, not a bird specialist.
Yeah, but cedar's a tree. But you're not a tree specialist
either. Not a tree specialist either. Not a specialist of many things. But no, Simo, what is making the migration a tad unusual this year is residents of North Texas have been noticed the birds acting disoriented and flying into windows.
No shivers.
This is all after eating berries that had been fermented.
Oh, drunk birds.
Yes, you have seen what's going on. A whole heap of birds have been doing their migration, stopping off for a bite to eat, seeing some berries or something on the ground.
Yeah.
Not realizing that they were fermented and have been getting drunk.
Don't drink and drive.
They're flying.
Don't drink and fly either.
Well, that hasn't stopped them.
No. Because if you hopped in a plane, the last thing you want is your pilot to have had a couple of tequilas.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, so these birds are very irresponsible.
Mm-hmm. An urban wildlife biologist with the Texas Department of Parks and Wildlife has said, sometimes these birds tend to overindulge a little bit and can get a bit intoxicated. They said that, yes, he was getting intoxicated from eating the fermented berries, and apparently that's actually quite common, but because of COVID-19, more people are at home, they're not going to work, so they're kind of noticing things more.
More access to berries, right? Maybe as well.
I don't know, but apparently this is like a thing that happens every single year.
Yeah.
These birds, they come and they just get smashed on these berries.
Well, no wonder they've chosen to... I was wondering why they'd migrate to Texas when there's so many guns, but it's kind of worth getting shot if you can get smashed.
Well, I mean, if you're a bird, you can't really go into a bar, you know, you kind of just walk in and go, I'll have two tequilas, please. you know, you can't really do that.
Straight up. Next Alcohol Anonymous meeting that you've got, there'll be a cedar bird.
There'll be a whole heap of birds just kind of going there. It's like, oh, we just wanted to have a couple to celebrate the migration, and then Tony took it a bit too far.
Hi, I'm Flappy, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, Flappy.
I've also got a very stereotypical bird name, which I'm not happy about, but we'll gloss over that.
Fair enough, too. That's what drove him to drink. My parents named me such a stupid bird name.
I know, they named me Flappy, and my brother's called Pecky.
I can't take it anymore.
But Simo, a heap of birds, they're migrating to North Texas and celebrating by getting drunk and just flying around the place.
Well, what is it? Mardi Gras coming up. So get smashed in Texas, then migrate to New Orleans.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, cast aspersions on people from Texas. I'm sure they're lovely.
Well, they're just big parties going on.
But from what I've seen on various forums, the message of Mardi Gras may not be shared in Texas.
Peace and love. Maybe the birds is the first step. If they'll allow the birds to get smashed and show free love and enjoy themselves in Texas, that's the first step.
And if you want to go and see birds that are smashed on eating fermented berries, fly to Texas and make sure you don't fly with Cedar Waxwing Airlines.
Yeah, make sure.
Because their pilot Flappy.
You make sure it doesn't come.
Is going to be smashed.
It comes over the intercom. This is your Captain Flappy speaking.
Oh, no.
My co-pilot is my brother, Pecky. Here, we're all set to take you up to 30,000 feet. Thank you.
And the crew in the cabin is my other brother, who is named Loves Twigs.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.